Blog Talk Radio.
You are listening to a pre-recorded interview from the archives of Prophecy Keepers Radio. You have been led by the Spirit to Prophecy Keepers Radio, a cooperative service of the White Roots of Peace Council. Whether it be the modern Asaga of Peru, the current kahunas of Hawaii, today's medicine people of the Americas, the holy ones of Africa, shamans of the East, North, West, and South, or the present-day Atawahis of the Cherokee, we bring you the traditional elders and teachers of our modern times and their confidants from the Americas, the steppes of Asia, the Holy Land, the islands of the sea, Africa, and Australasia. We have not been conquered, and we defy the established order. This is Will Bluewater, the host of Prophecy Keepers Radio, speaking on behalf of the White Roots of Peace Council.
It's 500-year resistance. You can't break the connection. Follow? It's 500-year resistance. You can't break the connection. Follow? It's 500-year resistance. You can't break the connection. Follow?
Thanks for listening to the Wisdom of the Elders on Prophecy Keepers Radio, revealing closely guarded ancient secrets here in the modern information age of Aquarius. This station's only means of support is through donations and purchases of the Prophecy Keepers Trilogy and Preparedness Library, which includes lifetime online access to a printable 1,000-page intelligence briefing and a worldwide indigenous prophecy encyclopedia. Now, folks, there's nothing else like this collection on the planet. You'll receive instant access to the Prophecy Keeper's Wisdom Treasury Vault. This is a huge 4.88 gigabyte library, 3,287 files and 222 folders. It includes the Prophecy Keeper's Prepper's Self-Reliance files and all of our previous over 100 Prophecy Keepers interviews. So head on over to prophecykeepers.com right now and have a free sneak peek today of two-thirds of the Prophecy Keepers trilogy and a peek of the dashboard of the Prophecy Keepers Wisdom Treasury Vault. Osio Ginalii Tohiju Toigu, which means, hello cousins, I'm fine, how are you? This is your old buddy Bluewater coming to you from the Cumberland Plateau in east central Tennessee, the ancient home of the Aniuntikwalaski, the people of the lightning and thunder, or the military protectors of the old Cherokee Nation.
And I heard, as it were, the noise of thunder, one of the four beasts saying, come and see. And I saw, and behold, a white horse.
Please God, don't let me live my life in vain. Help me throw some sunshine on a world filled with rain. Help me help somebody. Help me help them see all the rainbows and the promises that you showed me. Please God, don't let me live my life and die without ever even wondering why. Children laugh and lovers lie, rainbows fall and angels cry. Give me something to hang on to, give me revelations. See the crystal mountains, hear the rainbows falling. I can hear old Gabriel, I can hear him calling. Seven golden candlesticks, seven angels blowing silver horns, read it in the book of Revelation. I'm gonna be reborn. I'm gonna be reborn. And please God, don't let me live my life in vain.
Coming to you from Booger County in the mysterious Ozarks of Mid-America. And our guests this week are Kevin and Michelle Henley from atimeoffire.com. We're going to be talking not only about their book, but about Mother Mary and the Marian prophecies and a lot of other fascinating subjects. And I know it's going to be interesting, especially in light of what's just happened in, along the Gulf Coast. Welcome to the show, folks. How are you?
Thank you. Fine. How are you doing?
Oh, doing pretty well. Doing pretty well. So you're there too, huh, Kevin?
Yes.
Okay. Well, what do you think about what's that? Well, first, before we get started on that, I just want to remind folks that back in 1998, and I'm not the only person, I just found out that John Hoag, back in 1998, was going around telling people that in 2005, apparently he'd been told that, a hurricane was either going to destroy Miami or New Orleans, some major city, and it was going to have a devastating effect on the country and would change the way things are done as far as disaster preparedness. And I guess we see now that we have no real disaster preparedness. And so go ahead and tell us what you think Mother Mary and the sources that you folks work with, what kind of warnings have we been given?
Well, we've been given many, many, many warnings. I think possibly the most important thing is the need for us to change our ways and to come back in balance and to honor God or the Creator, however you word that. And that's probably the most important thing, because we are so out of balance, particularly in this country. But along with earth changes kind of warnings, I've been seeing for a very long time many disasters in this country. I was shown the Florida area being completely destroyed. I was also shown the area around St. Louis and the Madrid Fault being completely devastated, New York City being totally under an enormous amount of water, this huge, huge wall of water coming at it. And then, of course, the typical thing that we know of California, the West Coast will not go untouched. And basically what I've been told is that the face of the earth is going to change, that this is something cyclical, and that it's inevitable. The only control that we have is basically changing ourselves into beings of love and beings of light and respect and beauty, those kinds of things, so that we can perhaps lessen the impacts of these disasters. And those are just ones that I've been shown here in this country. They're going to happen everywhere. And of course, this recent thing that has happened is proof of that.
So you've had similar experiences then, like Gordon Michael Scallion and Loria Del Toy, huh?
Yes.
I there have been a lot. When I was out in Utah, 10, 12 years ago, I ran into at least a dozen people that had all seen the same flooding in vision, and every one of them told me that they knew others.
Yes.
And that they knew in much more detail about what was going to be flooded and where than Scallion and some of the others themselves had revealed. So go ahead and tell us more.
Well,
tell us more.
Blue Otter.
Yeah.
You know, Michelle's been receiving these what we call apparitions of Mother
Nature.
For about 6 years, and she's in these visions. She's been, Mary has laid out to her really the changes that are going to happen to the world, and these are very similar to what other people are receiving around the world. Many, many people are opening. Many people are getting the messages, and they're coming from different sources. Now, one thing we do know is that, you know, we don't know, for example, when things are going to happen, but we do know that they're going to happen. For example, the hurricane and other disasters in the Gulf and in Florida, you know, we've been told that's going to happen, but we don't always know when. And, of course, maybe it's not so important to know when. As Michelle was saying, what's more important is that we do change. And these are the earth changes, but on the other side of the coin are all the political events that are unfolding in the world. And Michelle's also been told a lot about what's going to happen in the political events in the Mideast, in this country, in the major powers, how things are going to unfold. And again, there's an urgency. You know, we told people these messages, and of course the messages are available, but until something major happens, people sometimes aren't willing to make the changes, make the shifts. And hopefully what has happened in the southern states now with Hurricane Katrina will wake people up. We'll get them to realize that we're not in ordinary times. We're in very unusual times. We're in revolutionary times in terms of the earth and the spirit. And we must make the changes. As Michelle said, they're going to happen anyway. We're going to be pulled along kicking and screaming, or we're going to go through it, as Michelle says, moving in more and more into light, into love.
Well, that's certainly true. That's certainly true. I know. So, Michelle, how do you get your messages? Do you work with Mother Mary, or how did you get involved in prophecy?
Well, this is not. I would say it wasn't a personal desire, at least on this level, or a choice even on this level. I was not, let's say, into spiritual things or meditation or anything of that sort, or even religious per se. Although I was born and raised Catholic, I just never fell into the church or its dogma at any particular time, although I have always had a connection to the Mother, for whatever reason that is, wherever that comes from. And a number of years ago, I was in a very stressful situation in my life, and a woman I know said to me, well, you should try meditating. Well, I had no idea what meditation was, and she kind of gave me some very quick instructions or ingredients, if you will. Do this, this, and this, and meditate. And she also taught me a quick visualization technique, which I had no idea that these were spiritual things. And she just told me, you know, bring in light, white light into your body and visualize your whole body filling up and just do this every day and you'll start to feel better. Well, I did start to feel better, but in the process of all of that, I started to really take it seriously, and every night from like 9 o'clock at night till midnight I would do this, but I wasn't looking for a result out of it spiritually. I was just getting myself relaxed is what I thought, and it felt good. And after a period of time, Mary appeared to me as a being of light, and it was outside of me. It wasn't something that was or inside of me. And she appeared there to me. I was at a meditation place in northern New Mexico. And at the time, she said to me, you know, don't be afraid. Call me Our Lady of Light, and I'll come to you every day for the rest of your life. And I was totally blown away, not so much because of her words, but because of the amount of overwhelming love. It was just incredible. And that totally, of course, shifted everything I believed as real. And then the message is continued, as she said, and they have continued. And at the beginning, the messages were about spiritual transformation, about love and goodness and all of those things that every single tradition talks about, those truths, those ways of being. And then later, the messages started to get into these more heavy topics and these prophecies. And, you know, I didn't know what to make of it, except that at one point she told me that we needed to get prepared. And I was very, very overwhelmed by what she showed me. A lot of the visions were filled with blood and death and just horror. And she showed me the war, and this was long before we invaded Iraq. And of course, I started telling my family, and you know what they thought.
Oh yeah.
You know how that goes. And I learned very quickly. Oh my gosh, don't say too much to too many people. Are you getting me there?
Yeah, you're breaking up a little bit, so just keep talking.
Sorry about that. I began to share it slowly because I was told, you know, you can't keep this information to yourself anymore. You have to get it out. It's critical for humanity. And so, of course, then that's what I did, and it's been quite a journey.
So when did all this start? What year?
Let's see. I'm not very good with years, but I'm going to say that the meditations probably began about 9 years ago, and she started appearing a couple years after that.
7 years. Interesting.
Yeah.
So, yeah, around 98 then, huh?
Yes.
I'll be darned.
It was, you know, it's on one hand, receiving the information is so wonderful. And on the other hand, I would like for it to sometimes go away because I do see, you know, the horror of things. And the thing in Iraq is just something that this is just, we're in the stages of something that's been orchestrated in ways that is beyond comprehension. And really, we've got to put a halt to it, or this is going to result in World War III.
Yeah, I agree with that statement. Well, let me ask you something. She's shown you some of the devastation areas. Has she shown you any safe areas?
Yes, she has shown me safe areas. And she has also told me that people, that she's appearing to a lot of people, and spirit is appearing to a lot of people, and these people come from all kinds of faiths, traditions, and they will be guided to safe havens, and they will bring people to them, or people will find them. And so there are areas. I know certain parts of Colorado will be safe. Certain parts of New Mexico will be safe. The East Coast is going to be cut back a little bit, so we'll have a different East Coast. And that area perhaps will be safe. I know that the area of Chicago is going to be completely devastated, and that perhaps may be by a nuclear device. And then you have the Florida area, which is going to be shifted, and along the middle of the country is going to be some massive, massive earthquake. I mean massive, like nothing we've ever seen before, and it's gonna cut the country kind of in half, is the way that I've seen it. But the safe places are all around. You know, it's not going to be like just the East Coast is going to be safe, or parts of the West Coast, or parts of the Midwest. It's just different areas. I would call them pockets of areas. And people are being guided there by the Spirit. And so those of us that are in touch know different people who say, you know, I've been told to buy here, buy land here, or buy a farm here, or whatever.
So when you saw the new Madrid go, did you see it going north south or you know, between the Boot Hill and St. Louis, or was the whole area fractured?
It was the whole area. I mean, I know that the St. Louis area is going to be completely destroyed by this. That city will no longer be. And so it's going to be pretty enormous across the entire fault line. It's going to be big.
Interesting. Yeah, we're not directly on the fault here. We're kind of on the fringes where we are, and we're in south central Missouri, about 50 miles north of the Arkansas state line. But we're up in the mountains. Fault naturally kind of follows the river system, and
well, see, that's another interesting thing about the visions is that the water in the area was just flooding like crazy with this earthquake. So I don't have a scientific mind, so I can't really explain how that could be.
Well, some have seen the Mississippi River opening up to, you know, 50 or 100 miles wide and a bigger connection between, well, a direct connection between the Great Lakes and the Gulf of Mexico, you know, via a much wider Mississippi River.
Yes, it's basically, you know, we're getting a facelift with all of this. The Earth things are going to be very different. Not completely, but very, very different.
Well, I know I've been on some. Now the Catholics call people like you mystics.
Yes.
And I've been on some of the Catholic mystic websites, and some of them, there was one, I can't remember the address right now, but, you know, they were shown that the safe areas like southwestern Minnesota are going to be a haven. They'll be haven around Salt Lake City, believe it or not. And there was one other one, and I can't remember where it was. But, southwestern Minnesota, you know, it's a pretty rural area. That's where Laura Ingalls Wilder was a little girl. She wrote her books near here, about 30 miles from here, but up around Sleepy Eye, a very rural, you know, part of Minnesota.
Well, that's kind of something that everybody should maybe look at in terms of being proactive and preparation, or, you know, where are the places that people are speaking about. So that, you know, if you're in a position like what has just happened and they say, you know, get out of Dodge, that you have some idea in your mind like, well, maybe I can go here because they said in southern Colorado it'll be safe, or in northern New Mexico it'll be safe, or, you know, in Minnesota or whatever the places are. It's just important to have a little bit of idea, a little bit of planning in there, and not to count on the government to take care of us.
Be sure and stay tuned. We'll be returning in just a few moments.
Hi, friends. This is Will Blue Otter. I have a message here from 1975 from John Wayne. It comes right out of today's headlines. So you Indian folks who are following the progressive trend in politics, you're following the people that supported slavery. You're following the people that have enslaved you ever since the Civil War. Listen to John Wayne.
You know, it's a funny thing, the Indians now, this AIM group have started something that now they're against me for some reason, but I am the only man in pictures that always gave them their human dignity. I never was in a picture. I never allowed myself at any time to do anything that would take their human dignity away from them, and that to me is the most important thing in a man. I have found that a certain type that calls himself a liberal, I always thought I was a liberal, I came up terribly surprised one time when I found that I was a right-wing conservative extremist. When I have listened to everybody's point of view that I ever met, and then decide how I should feel. I mean, but this so-called new liberal group, Jesus, they never listen to your point of view, and they make a decision as to what you think, and they're articulate enough and in control of enough of the press to force that image out for the average person. For some reason, maybe it's these pictures, they have not been able to do that with me. In spite of what they say, people have not taken sides that I'm a, you know, it hasn't affected my career in popularity, let's say. In spite of the fact that they've tried to make it do it. There isn't a hell of a lot that we can do to change human behavior. We keep making laws to try and change human behavior. You can't do it. I think you can accept it and feel how you would feel in that position.
You're being conned into Keynesianism and socialism now. But it isn't going to stop the selfishness of human behavior. It isn't going to stop the greed. If you take $20 and give a dollar to every son of a bitch in a room, and come back a year later, one of the bastards will have most of the money. I mean, it's just human nature, and you're not gonna whip it with a lot of laws. I think when you make people conscious, as communication gets better, and you make people conscious of somebody in trouble, starving or something like that, the average person will help. But of course now they've got so very many charities, and there's so much professionalism. You know, there's if you have a charity, you hire some professionals to work up the charity. By the time you get the money, you get $4 for the recipient and $400 for the administrators. So I mean, Christ,
I think there are people who try to affect a thinking where they know more than some other son of a bitch, and try to put a false impression on what human nature is. Christ's sakes, we have proven that we go back to hope at the first opportunity. Just throw out a little fish and bam, they're out there ready to grab it. So we are optimistic. We have to be optimistic. Christ, what else would there be in life if you lose optimism?
Be sure and stay tuned. We'll be returning in just a few moments. Friends, this is Will Bluewater. Would you think twice about defending yourself or a loved one from an intruder? In this day and age, would you dream of leaving your doors unlocked at night for fear of being burglarized or even attacked or worse? Would you? But when it comes to our own bodies, the doors to our houses are wide open all the time. The very air we breathe and the food we eat, especially here in the United States, creates free radicals that cause us to age and in some case cause illness, some of which are deadly. Now, for the first time in history, there's a supplement called Protandim that is listed on the U.S. government's PubMed.gov website, with many peer-reviewed studies all showing that Protandim is a proven killer of the free radicals that are aging and in some cases even killing us. Now, I'm not talking about killing one molecule of free radical per one molecule of antioxidants like the stuff we've been taking. I'm talking about killing 1 million free radicals per second, per molecule. And this is the very same antioxidant your own body produces. Protandim superchargers your body to create much more than it does without Protandim. There's an old saying that we are warned about in the scriptures. That's the attitude, eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow we die. So let me ask you, how much money do you spend on food a day? If you're out shopping or at the beach, would you think anything of spending a buck or even more on a can of soda? If there was a vending machine that sold something that killed what was aging you or even killing you, would you even hesitate to spend a buck and a half a day? Well, now there is such a vending machine, and it's sitting right in front of you. It's at www.defendyourownbody.com. That's defendyourownbody.com. Visit us now.
You don't count on them at all. The one thing that the elders that I work with feel is very important, and Moses felt it was important also, when people came complaining to him about people walking around the camp prophesying, you know, his attitude was, well, so what? You know, he says, I would that everyone would be a prophet. And I think it's the ultimate survival tool. I encourage everybody to learn how to obtain this gift. And, you know, so your publications will can help people understand a little bit better about how, if any one book in particular, explain how people can grab a hold of personal revelation to help them be safer.
Yeah, Vlad, I think our last book, our most recent book, A Time of Fire, A Way of Fire, goes into this in great detail. A part of the book are the verbatim messages of Mary to Michelle, where she gives instructions about how to use light and energy to open ourselves up spiritually, move to a higher frequency. And that's the message that keeps coming through. We have to move to a higher frequency to deal with, for example, many of the diseases that are going to be coming around, to deal with the levels of stress, to deal with the actions of the government, particularly against those people who really know, who have an understanding. And as you say, that becomes the survival tool, not to rely on other people necessarily or the government, but to transform oneself. And then we will be led, we will be guided by the Spirit where we need to be, and we will be protected, those people who really choose to live in a higher way and to make the transition with the earth.
I know years ago, before all this started with me, I saw the movie that I don't like Stephen King's stuff, but they made a movie about his book, The Stand. Actually, it was a miniseries, and it's a perfect example of what we're talking about, only it was post-apocalypse, and people started dreaming about this woman, and they were shown where to go, and they just started working their way west. And she was somewhere in Kansas, but they ended up in going to Boulder, Colorado. And but everybody was led there using dreams, and they knew exactly where they stood. And I just don't, you know, I started becoming aware and concerned about these things back in 1981. And, you know, we spent every nickel we could on food storage or preparations and, you know, and trying to deal with career and having to make moves and, all, you know, having all this stuff. And, you know, finally when, I guess a few years later, let's see, it would have been in the late 80s, I was told three times in 1 year that during a time of trouble that I would go to a certain place. I still don't know where that place is. I had a sense that it was underground.
Interesting.
But that I would be safe. And, so So I still don't know. I don't know if I'm in the right state or not. I don't even know if I'm in the right country. But I did get a peace from that to know that, you know, even if I have to walk away from all this junk, you know, at this point in life, that would be nice.
Yes.
You know, it'd be nice to be it with as many aches and pains and as sad as I am to be ministered to by angels.
Yeah, well, we know what you mean. You know, we've gone through the same thing. We've invested our money in preparation, in putting out the books so other people would know, and we've basically retooled our lives so that we could be oriented differently to respond to the messages that Michelle's getting, and also to be prepared. And it is a sacrifice, and there's a certain element of faith involved. But we've also learned along the way that this process, even if all these changes weren't going to happen, it's what people should do to step out of what we call the matrix, in order to really be free and find oneself. You know, we need to be free of these things, although totally free is kind of hard the way our system's set up today.
Yeah.
But it's a hard process because, you know, our experience is that Mary keeps pushing us further and further. She says, you can let go of more. You could go deeper. You know, you don't have to stay where you're at. And, you know, and sometimes, you know, we get scared and sometimes, you know, we have doubts. But, you know, we've held on so far. And, you know, and a lot of people know, I think, with events, with the tsunami, with the Hurricane Katrina, with the war in Iraq, which is going to, Mary says we're going to be invading Iran. You know, people are going to see that change was prudent, and those that waited too long may find that they're left out.
Well, yeah, exactly. And but I'll tell you, folks, you know, when I first started this show, the first few guests, and I started the show back in February of last year. I asked all of my first few guests, did December 26th mean anything to them? You know, and finally I stopped asking, and then we got hit with the tsunami. And then,
wow.
You know, back in, and I didn't know, you know, I didn't even realize, because it happened on Christmas Day, our time, and then when I realized that because of the dateline, things were later there, and so I realized, oh my gosh, I'd have it on the 26th of December, and then back in March of 1998, I was told, just woken up in a dream, a voice told me early in the morning that the year 2005 would be known in the future as the year of the Great Havoc. Because the weather was going to become so bad that it might even affect computers worldwide. And then the voice raised itself, almost yelling at me, and said, now wake up and write that down.
Yeah, that they do that, don't they?
Uh-huh. And then in August, and I was in graduate school at that point. I had to do something different. My first wife had passed away just... maybe 8 or 9 months previous to that, and was looking for a way out of the situation I was in. So there wasn't enough funds for. I mean, my tuition and books were covered because I was on vocational rehab, but the cost of living in Logan, Utah, was 20% higher than the rest of the country. My wife was sick and couldn't work. We couldn't find a place to live in was the problem, and the rent was $300 more a month, and we just had a shortfall. And we, you know, so after, you know, a semester and a half, we just gave up. We went trucking. So the following August, I'm rolling around, you know, with earplugs in my ears, sleeping. Voice wakes me up and says, you have 7 years. And that made me mad. But that sounded like a threat. So I went back and I said humbly, I said, you know, you've been telling me things since 1982. You told me that my wife Joanne was going to die during the dark of the moon. She did. I said, you've been telling me all these things. Now you're telling me I have 7 years. And I said, who are you? So about 10 days, 2 weeks later, something like that, the voice just came back and said, I am. I am. So I went back in prayer and I said, well, you know, excuse me for doubting you. I said, but you do instruct people that they are supposed to challenge the spirits. And I said, now I've done it. I said, I know who you are now. You're the great I am. But that left this whole thing open about August. You know, and there have been some amazing things that have happened to me personally this month and in the last few months. And here we go, you know, on the last few days of August, we have this tremendous hurricane down there. And, you know, I'm still not, I mean, this is the second day of September, and my head's just still kind of spinning, but I'm not sure where I personally go from here. I'm really kind of wondering myself, you know, because other than knowing that during a time of trouble I'm going to be taken or will go to a place that's underground, I don't know what's next.
Yeah,
but I'm okay about it, though.
You know, there are a lot of places that are underground. And so there's different people preparing in different ways. And that's, you know, we have to, at that point, we have to trust. For myself, I know where I'm going to be. But we also have to be very mobile and be ready to leave from one place to another. See, here in northern New Mexico, there's different groups of people who are not associated to one another that are from different traditions, different ways, who have been guided here and are buying rural property. And my sense of it is that we may have to jump from one place to another depending on what the story is, what the situation is at any particular time in terms of politically, martial law, some sort of attack in this country, earth changes, all of those things. We have to be ready to move and leave everything behind instantly. And that really is what is critical. When the Spirit speaks to you, you don't doubt it. If the Spirit says, you know, go 20 miles and turn left, and someone will be there. You just do it.
Mm-hmm.
Because you know that's guiding you, and that's what you're supposed to do. And other people may be led in another direction. And really, the situation isn't about us dying, because we're all going to die anyway.
Yep.
It's really about transforming and really becoming who each of us is, which is the I am. You know, all of that is within us, and it's just really tapping into it. That's what all of this is about, or at least that's what I've been taught, is that all of these changes are an awakening process, shaking us up and saying, you know, turn back to the Creator. Turn back to the ways of the earth. Walk the beauty path. You know, do these things. Bow your head in honor to one another, to the animals, to the creatures, to the trees, to everyone and everything. And stop this madness of materialistic pursuits that, you know, lead people nowhere.
Yep.
I say, you know, we're running really fast nowhere.
Yeah.
You know?
Yep. Well, I know, you know, there's lots of folks up around Durango, Colorado. There's a lot of UFO contactees have been told that that's a safe place. The Hopi prophecy says that they're going to get flooding, you know, even up into Sedona, and that after the whole thing's over, everybody's going to go over to Four Corners, which is near Cortez, and they're going to start a new tribe there. And I imagine you folks are somewhere near Santa Fe.
We are in Santa Fe, and we don't intend to stay right here in Santa Fe. We'll be outside in a little bit more rural area. And I have the sense, like I've seen where I'm at. I was actually guided to a piece of property. And I just have a sense that a lot of people will come there whenever the time is. You know, the interesting thing is that it's hard to kind of see it exactly. Like, for example, I was shown that Yellowstone was going to blow. And Mary actually told me to go up there and do a ceremony. And, you know, so we went up there and did a ceremony. She said that there were underground testing, that there is underground testing going on, nuclear explosions, underneath that area, and she said it was not a good thing and that it was going to, these testings were going to push Yellowstone into blowing up sooner. So she told me, get up there with a group of people, go do a ceremony, and then get out of there quickly.
Yeah, that's what Benny LeBeau did. He was told to do the same thing when they had a, they established a lot of prayer wheels all over the country emanating out from with the Yellowstone at the beginning. And after they did the ceremonies, the Yellowstone went to sleep. They also prayed for California. California was in a major drought, and we all know what happened in California last year. They got so much rain, it about washed it away. And Art Bell was talking about, you know, Pahrump just turning green, which is, I don't know, it's all wild for me. You know, we had lived in the Rockies for years, and, you know, we wouldn't be against returning back there. We were just so concerned about lack of water and being able to grow stuff. I mean, the land's fertile, as long as you can get water to it. You know,
well, it's interesting because Mary said to me, and this is something to keep in mind, she said the places that are really dry will be really wet.
Really?
The places that are really wet will be really dry. And the places that are very cold will be very hot, and vice versa.
Wow.
And you see, when I was looking for land, you know, I talked to a few people who would, let's say, know more about land than myself and Kevin. And people would say, well, you know, get something lower. You don't want up in the mountains because you can't grow anything in the mountains because it's too cold up here. We get too much snow. Your growing season is going to be short. Well, she directly led me to the mountains. And she said, you will have what you need and be able to live off of the land here.
Oh, there's no sense. There's no reason why 4,000 feet. I mean, we're in Moab, and 22 miles south of Moab, Utah, which is the middle of the desert. And we were caretakers for about a 300-acre mining property. The mine had filed on a spring up the road several miles, and they had piped water down. We had all the water we could use. We had a tremendous garden, just absolutely tremendous, and you know, nice sandy soil, and we, you know, built it up with did some composting, and man, we grew some of those wonderful potatoes, and you know, so as long as you've got enough water out there, stuff will grow.
Well
this is great. This is good to know, because you know, finding real estate that's cheap enough is a problem, you know, so.
Well, that's true. You know, another thing that's important that just came into my mind about all this, which I was told, is that we have to realize that we're looking at a solution at our current way of being and our current level of thinking. And as things move forward, our mental capacities and our abilities are going to shift, and we're going to be able to do things that we would consider miraculous, which are actually our normal state of being. And so it's like you're saying, you know, you get the dreams and you get the information, and you may call me, you know, something of a mystic because I can see, but that's really what everybody is meant to be. And during these times, we're gonna slip into that. We're gonna move into that through our work, through our returning home, returning to God, returning to the Creator, however you name it. And then we will have different kinds of abilities. So it could be, and I don't know for sure, but it could be that we will be able to manifest the rain, or control the weather, through ceremony, through prayer, or just through thought. I mean, I'm not for sure how it's going to work.
Be sure and stay tuned. We'll be returning in just a few moments.
It is so great to have our friend Marie Osmond back here on GMA, and she has some important information about making sure your family is prepared for natural disaster. She's the new national spokesperson for Wise Company, which makes dehydrated and freeze-dried emergency foods and food storage products. She's here to tell us about that. Marie, you've been given the opportunity to endorse probably 9 billion things over the course of your career.
True.
Why the Wise Company?
The reason I wanted to do it is because it's affordable. You can eat a meal for a dollar. It's less than school lunch. It's affordable, but really, look at what's been going on with Sandy and Katrina. I mean, what was it, $78 billion of damage done just here in New York and
right.
New Jersey.
So what is this?
What it is it's emergency meals. And, you know, it's not your grandmother's kind, not the beans and rice and the gross chicken-tasting
right.
garbage. This is lasagna and really good stuff. And I swear to you, why am I here talking about this? Because I know it's going to save thousands and thousands and thousands of lives. You put it under your bed. It's convenient. Stick it in your closet. If something happens, I have it in my car. All you do is you open it and you add water. You don't even have to add hot water.
Right.
And it's affordable. It's convenient. It tastes really good. Taste the peaches. They're fantastic.
This is a peach?
But they're different than every other company because it's like
dehydrated
and freeze-dried, and they combine whatever. I swear it's fantastic. Just try it.
I'm trying it right now. Marie
put it
Osmond.
Under your bed. Put it in your closet. Give it for Christmas to people and save lives.
Thank you very much. Will you tell Donnie that we said we hope his rear feels better?
Well, you know, it's kind of a bummer, but I'll tell him.
No, Marie Osmond, great having you on.
It's
the Wise
so fun
Company.
To be here.
Great to be with you.
It's always fun to be here. This is a great place.
All right.
Friends, this is Will Bluewater. If you'd like to find out more about Wise Foods, visit wisefoods.org.
But I know that we will have different level of ability, and you can see it probably in yourself. You know, there's certain times you have a thought about something, and then instantly you see that person or that thing occurs, and really those are manifestations of our thoughts and our energies connecting, and so there's a lot of things at work that are extremely exciting.
Well, I know I've got a friend named Dick Bauman who did a lot of research on the subject of living all things common. And this is the way that the followers of Jesus lived. It's described in the book of Acts about how they lived and had all things common. The Book of Mormon, it's a centerpiece in the Book of Mormon. But the scriptural promises that go along with this are that if you live this way, you'll be fed like stall-fed calves. In other words, all your needs will be taken care of, and it's kind of a recipe for divine intervention.
Yes.
Well, let me ask you something. Years ago, I was told that I would move to Las Vegas, and that would be my eye of the tiger.
Las Vegas, New Mexico.
Well, see that. The thing about it is it didn't say, and you know, so I started thinking, you know, a few years ago because Robert Ghostwolf is in your area, and I started thinking. I know there's a conference center that is probably still for sale in that area, and there's some old homesteads around, but you're talking pretty pricey, you know, areas right now, I probably wouldn't even remember about Las Vegas, and I've even looked into place names in Mexico, but I looked a little bit deeper. Las Vegas means Fertile Valley.
Yeah.
Vega is a fertile place, and so, may very well be, I might end up in that area. You know, Dottie Daigle, she's a close friend. She's on the Laguna Indian Reservation, about 25 miles west of Albuquerque. Ghostwolf is not sure, you know, whether he's going to stay there or go elsewhere. But everybody's just kind of wondering, you know. But you know, when I heard that thing about Las Vegas, I mean, that was one. I immediately thought it was Nevada, you know, naturally.
Of course. Well, you're not going to Sin City, you know?
Las Vegas. You know, it was interesting. I had another Las Vegas connection, and it might have been something that the creator set up, because years ago, back in 1983, when I lived in Portland, Oregon, you know, I went in to cash a check at the bank, and the vice president of the bank comes to the window and says, hey, you know, would you mind coming in, you know, there's a problem with your account. Next thing I know, a cop shows up, And, you know, I'm taken downtown for questioning, and the long and the short of the story is that an ex-police officer from Las Vegas, New Mexico, by the name of Paul Thomas Turgeon, had got in a gunfight and shot a bystander, innocent bystander. He went underground. And I was living in Salt Lake City at the time, and without knowing it, you know, I kind of fell into his web. He was recruiting people for a fictitious security company, and he said, well, we do security work for the Department of Defense, so we be sure and bring a certified copy of your birth certificate. Well, duh. Natural, you know, a little bird told me, don't give him your Social Security number, and I didn't. But, you know, we both ended up moving to, I moved to Portland, he moved to Portland, started doing all this stuff. The cop in Olathe, Kansas that caught him told me that he did $500,000 worth of fraud in my name, but that because I hadn't given him my Social Security number, he got he used my birth certificate to get another social, got a fake DD-214 from the Air Force, and did $500,000 worth of fraud in my name, and he was totally unrepentant about it, and he said he would do it again. But because our physical descriptions were, a bit the same, we didn't look the same in the face, different coloring. He had, his teeth were kind of all jumbled, but he was, you know, he's a fat man too, and but that may have been, a way for your career. Maybe Las Vegas, New Mexico will be the place. New Mexico is karst topography. There are a lot of caves there. There are a lot of caves here too. And so I just kind of wait on the Creator and not too worried about it. At this point in my life, I'm semi-disabled and can't do a whole lot for myself anyway. And when I do, there's a lot of moaning and groaning and pain involved. So I just, not a whole lot more I can do other than...
In New Mexico, it's a beautiful area, and it's one of the... it's one of the cheapest areas of northern New Mexico right now. It's fairly unheralded compared to places like Taos and Santa Fe and things like that. So you may very well be there along with other people. And it's an area we know well, and we really like that. And like it there. And, you know, Blue Otter, you were talking about, you know, the power of prayer, and that's one of the things that came through to Michelle about Hurricane Katrina is that. That hurricane was really, as many people know, headed directly for New Orleans, destroyed that city even more with a much higher death toll. But prayer did shift the tornado to the east, and as horrific as the results were, they could have been even more horrific.
Oh, yeah.
And what that tells us is something that Mary has been saying all along. She says, even with prophecies, nothing is set in stone. The nature of prophecy is to tell us the most likely path that we as individuals or collectively will follow, but we can always change that. She says that the power of our free will is so immense that if we awaken, we can change what has been prophesied, and that the situation continues to be very fluid. And so even in the last few hours before the hurricane hit land, there was a major shift because people focused on it and they made that shift happen with the help of higher powers, I'm sure. So we're walking into a very uncertain future. We know these likelihoods of things that will happen, but nothing is set in stone. And, you know, the power of prayer, the power of ceremony, the power of our minds to really shift things. And this is, I think, part of what we need to awaken to and what many people are awakening to.
Yeah, I know that's right. You know, years ago, Art Bell and his audience did an experiment having to do with trying to, I can't remember what, it was a weather-related something they were trying to change, and they did. They turned the thing 90 degrees, and it scared Art Bell so badly, and George and Ernie, they won't do it now. Which,
that's,
you know,
funny.
Well, they got 10 million people that could be doing something. But
that's exactly it. I mean, Mary has said to me, you know, It doesn't matter what religion you are if you're no religion at all. If you love, if you believe in the Buddha, if you believe in Krishna, if you believe in the Creator, the Light, the Force, whatever you name it, and you pray in whatever ways that you pray, and that intention is coming from your heart, that is what we need to do, and we can connect our prayers together. So she says to me, when you're praying every night, connect your prayers like webs of light across to everyone else in the world who is praying that day, that moment. And she said it creates more and more power, for lack of a better word. You know, we misuse that word, power. But it's really creating more light and more possibility for us. So it's a tremendously powerful thing. And our intention, this is something people don't understand. Our thoughts and our intention, they're critical. So one of the things is like with this whole hurricane situation. Well, here all of a sudden you get the news, the media, bringing on the information about the looters and people shooting people down, and there's fear and there's anger, and then everybody gets all stirred up in that vibration. It's really best when the garbage starts to come out that we remove ourselves from that and stay in a higher place and saying, okay, what's the opportunity here? What is the gift that is happening, and how can I be proactive? How can I be in the positive? Mary told me, you know, hold the space of light for these people. Hold it. Just visualize that you are holding light and literally cradling that entire area with loving light, with hope, with peace. And don't get caught into the, you know, George Bush did this and so-and-so did that, and, you know, Jesse Jackson said this, and there's looters, and there's all of that. It may be true. I don't know. But she says, you know, just hold the light, hold the love. And that's important for us.
Yeah, I used to be more of a political animal than I am now, but I just came to the conclusion, hey, old George is probably doing what he thinks is right, who knows, so you just, I don't know, it's tough call, and, Mary's is right, if everybody just, that's awful good advice. Instead of getting caught up in the negativity, just stay with what's positive. And but the other night I was watching CBS News, and my mother's from Mississippi, from Vicksburg. It's not on the Gulf Coast, but they had a little place called Waveland, Mississippi, that was just completely destroyed. I mean, the railroad track had been moved and looked like, oh, it was just a mess. And there was one gal that, a black woman, she had lost everything. And Bob Schieffer at the end of the show, at the end of the news broadcast, let this woman close the show. Basically, I won't even try to paraphrase what she said, but she said that this whole thing had been she was walking around making sure that there wasn't glass on the road so that no one would get a flat tire. You know, she's thinking about other people during this whole thing. I mean, just what a saint, And I can't remember exactly what she said, but she was very positive about it, and said that it had changed her life for the better. And, all I got to say is God bless her.
Well, it's interesting because, Mary showed me the force of that, of the water, the force of the wind literally knocked people into a more awakened state of being momentarily until the fear comes back in. But she said that a lot of people are going to be able to hold that. And she said, really, if you look at what's going on a collective scale, the earth is shifting, we're entering into a new sun, we're entering into a different way of being. We're going to go through all hell. But if we can take the opportunity, and so she says, okay, look at these people. a lot of them have suffered horrifically, and we can't take that away because every person has to have the right of dignity in their suffering and in their process. But she says, look at what has happened. Instantly, everything that we believe is true has just been shattered right before our very eyes.
Yep.
For us, for them, for everybody in this country, on this planet, all of a sudden, everything that we hold so dear, our bank accounts, our houses, our toilets, all of these things, all of a sudden are gone. And those people have an opportunity to be creative, to lead us into something different. And so that's a possibility. If enough people can come together and say, let's dream the dream different. Let's create something more spectacular out of this situation. And let's use this as an example so that we can lead the way quicker and easier into this transformation. But that's a task because we're being guided, you know. These people are being guided. The government's going to take care of you. You're going to, you know, your insurance will come through. And all of those things that we hold on to as truth we're being led back into that, and they're being led back into it. And the task is to say, okay, I really don't buy into this anymore. This is really not what's important. There's a different way, and let me tap into that. Spirit, speak to me and show me what that is and how I can create a paradise here.
Well, that's good advice. Has Mary showed you what lies beyond? Let's talk about what the millennium might be or mean or when it could happen. And has she shown you anything?
Well, she said to me that everything would be said and done by 2012. Now, when I, Michelle, say we're in the end times, I don't believe that the world is going to end. I believe that many, many things are going to change, and the way that we perceive, the way that we live, is going to be different. And I do believe that the end times brings with it a lot of catastrophic and horrible, horrible events. But I also see that there's possibility and there's hope in what I've been given, what I've been taught, in that we will enter into a new age. And Mary tells me it's the age of the goddess. And she says part of what has happened is that the feminine, and this is not as, you know, I'm pro-woman, but the feminine aspect of all humanity, of all human beings, has to return to its balance.
You're just pro-balance.
Yes, balance. And so, you know, when sometimes people say, well, you know, we're talking about the goddess. We're talking about the feminine. Oh, that, yay, we're going to switch it to the other side. No, that's ignorant. It's bringing a balance between the feminine and masculine aspects within each one of us, not male and female.
Well, I know people are starting to wake up to this whole thing. I had no idea just how much damage had been done to the theology that Jesus left behind.
Yeah.
Until I read a book called The Conflict of the Church and the Synagogue by a man named Parks, who was an Oxford University scholar, writing in the 20s. And you really have no idea. I mean, 2,000 years ago, everybody knew that the Jews were expecting a Messiah, and there was a whole bunch of people running around claiming to be Messiah. But nobody raised, they were waiting for somebody, the Sanhedrin was waiting for somebody to be raised from the dead. And then when you go into John, and, you know, you're reading how he raised Lazarus from the dead, and somebody ran and told Sanhedrin,
I'll see you.
Be sure and stay tuned. We'll be returning in just a few moments.
It's the little yellow pill that scientists say could eliminate chronic diseases and help you live well into your hundreds.
You might be able to increase the lifespan of a mammal by 50%. And, of course, if that was a human being, then that might be in the order of 130 to 150 years.
That claim might be hard to swallow. But tonight on ABC's Primetime Live, co-anchor John Quinones takes the promising antioxidant therapy called Protandim.
I have become a guinea pig for ABC News and Primetime. It's not a drug. It's a supplement. It's called Protandim, and it's a combination of five exotic plants that have been around for centuries.
Have you discovered the fountain of youth?
I wouldn't put it that way, but we may have discovered something that will tell us a lot more about how we age, what happens biochemically, and maybe how we can slow it down.
Quinones has been taking Protandim for 2 weeks now and tells Extra,
I am sleeping better. I feel a lot better and also energized when I do wake up.
Primetime puts Protandim to the test tonight.
It's at www.defendyourownbody.com. That's defendyourownbody.com. Visit us now.
And the Sanhedrin, you know, is the biblical legislature and judge and everything, law-giving body for Israel. And this really threw them into kind of a furor, and everybody's standing around going from one foot to the other, well, what are we going to do? You know, and Caiaphas, and you can go read it. When I read it, I absolutely couldn't believe that it was left in the Bible, because it said, Caiaphas said, he told the other members of the Sanhedrin, you don't know anything. He says, if he did this, if he's the Messiah, then he should die for our nation. And the scripture says that from that point forward, they set about to kill him. And it explains why, a few days earlier he had been hailed, you know, riding into an ass into the eastern gate in Jerusalem, and it explains why people were begging the Roman authorities, kill him, let his blood be upon us and upon our children. And since then there's been a tremendous schism between the Jews and the Christians, and most of it happened in the Middle Ages. But when you go back to that time and isolate what was going on then, and then realize that during that period of time that the non-Jewish converts that Jesus was bringing in, within 135 years, Jesus' brother James and his successors, legal successors that led the church, at 135 A.D., they were run out of Jerusalem. And then by 333, the entire Nazarene sect was extirpated from the area. And the Gentiles, and you really don't read any early church fathers much earlier than about 150 A.D., and there's a reason for that, too, is that there began a takeover for lack of a better term, pagan Romans. And they literally overlaid and replaced a lot of the original theology that was taught.
Mary said to me, and brace yourself for this one, she said to me that the Vatican has the original writings of Jesus Christ.
I don't doubt it.
And they are holding the truth. They are holding the truth back from the people. See, there's so much that's missing from the Bible. It doesn't mean that there isn't some truth in there and some possibility to take that and transform yourself as an individual,
yeah,
if that's your faith. Because if you love, then you will transform. But there's Mary said, you know, the Vatican is, they're not good guys.
Mm-hmm.
And they are bringing down the people, and Jesus' writings are there, and eventually they're going to be exposed. and this is going to be a mess. She has said that the church is going to fall, crack in half, basically, the
yeah.
way she's shown it.
Yeah.
And this Pope, which I call him Darth Vader, he is a very scary guy. And I'm not saying that with judgment. He just does not have a good agenda set out for his people.
Mm-hmm.
And it's sad because people are ignorant.
Yeah, you know, he's what was second to the last pope, and according to St. Malachy. And but, you know, the interesting thing is that even the Vatican didn't have control over what was found at the Dead Sea.
Yes.
And in cave number 4 on Scroll MMT, you know, we now know scientifically, logically, that what we now know is that the Pharisees got a bad rap. We now know that Sadducees were the ones that didn't believe in the resurrection, didn't believe in the Holy Spirit. They were the ones that were kind of the troublemakers, and the argument was going on at that time, and these Sadducees were men who actually bought their way in control of the temple about 100 years before Jesus was born, and the real descendants of Zadok, they were claiming to be descendants of Zadok. When you see in Hebrew, there's no vowels, but they were a false priesthood, and the real guys went out to Qumran and started writing. And the teacher of righteousness was writing, you know, about things that was going, they knew what was going on in Jerusalem. And now we come to find out that Jesus was actually ordained by Gamaliel, who was the Nazi or the prince of the Sanhedrin. And during that period of time, prior to that, Gamaliel would not have had to have had permission of the Sanhedrin to ordain Jesus, but during that period, he had to have permission of the Sanhedrin to. So we know that Jesus was a ribbi. It's a special kind of a shmicha or ordination that you could only get during the Tanaitic temple period during that period of time. He was an authorized teacher of the law of Moses. He was a rabbi. They called him rabbi. We know that in the Bible. But he said, observe what the Sanhedrin observes. Just don't do what they're doing. They had lost touch with the people. They weren't, you know, people don't realize, you know, when you're doing temple work, you get covered from head to foot with blood because you're dealing with blood sacrifice. And they lived in their own little part of the city. They had their own bridge that they passed over the heads of the other people. And over a period of years, they began to think of themselves as being better. And he was just trying to bring them down a notch or two. And, the whole thing really got out of control, and Jesus said that there would be a falling away. And there was, and, there was a tremendous falling away, and it's really hard to sort out, what the truth was, and Paul didn't help.
You know, it's interesting, Blue Otter, back in December when we were putting together, finishing up this third book, A Time of Fire, A Way of Fire, Michelle had a series of apparitions from Jesus and Mary where she was given a teaching on the book of Revelations. And that teaching is included as part 3 of the book. They told her to include that in the book. And what that teaching does is it takes the book of Revelation to a different level, and you see encoded in the book of Revelations some of the true teachings of Jesus that were not apparent unless you knew the code. It was encoded in this text that John got, John the Evangelist got and wrote down. And there you see some of the true teachings of Jesus about life, about energy, about the energy centers. For example, if anyone's familiar with Revelations, at the beginning of Revelations it talks about the 7 churches, that there's messages for the 7 churches. Well, what that really represents is the 7 energy centers.
Yep.
You see? And much of what Jesus taught never came down to us, never got included in Scripture.
Yep.
And Mary says that eventually his writings that are in the Vatican will be released, and this will cause a tremendous controversy because the Church hadn't released them earlier. Another thing she said that might be of interest to some of your listeners, and it goes back to what Michelle was saying about the balance between the masculine and the feminine, is that there was an inner circle of apostles, male apostles, but there was also an inner circle of female apostles. And we don't hear about that, but there were females with Jesus, part of his mission, who were masters, who were adepts. And not just Mary Magdalene, but many others. They were very, very evolved spiritually. And in fact, you know, some of those women were critical to Jesus' mission. They were able to give him the energy he needed to get through the crucifixion, to go into the underworld, create a path through, of light through the underworld for other people to eventually follow, and to come out through the resurrection. So there's so much that's missing, and, you know, I think we owe a debt of gratitude to people like Michelle who are bringing this information in now and making it available for the people who are willing to step outside the box and really move into a different vibration.
Hmm. Have you sent George Nuri a copy of your book yet?
Well, we've sent him all of our information, but he hasn't called us.
See, he's a Catholic himself, so.
Well, yeah. It's interesting because he's from. I grew up in St. Louis, and years ago, I heard him on local talk radio in St. Louis.
Yeah, he had a show there. That's where he had his paranormal show. Well, he was filling in from St. Louis, you know, for a long time before he moved out to the West
yeah.
Coast.
See, you know, part of the mission of Christ at that time was to bring the understanding to people about the light, about our sexual energy, not in terms of using it as sex per se, but in terms of understanding that fuel is the Holy Spirit within us. And that fuel, when we learn how to take care of it, let's say, within ourselves, that is what opens us up to spirit and rises within us as a system. And it's a fuel. It's a one thread, one strand of fuel. We have, what I've been taught is we have three different kinds within us. And one of those is the sexual energy, which is the Holy Spirit. The other one is the energy of the heart. And so, of course, you want to move this system of energy within you so that you can rise into your normal state of being energetically. Now, that doesn't mean you go somewhere else. It's a perception and dimension within the self. And part of what Christ was about was trying to teach us that, and him and his whole group. They were all masters, is what I was told. And I believe that because I can see in my own self that, you know, when you work with your own energies, when you really understand that you are a sacred being, you are not separate from anything else, that you are one with the Creator, then you can really begin to experience that in your everyday knowing and operations with people and assisting each other and really loving. And so Christ, you know, Christ, Mary Magdalene, Mary his mother, Joseph, all of those people, the stories that are in the Bible are kind of almost hilarious. I think it's so far from the truth.
Oh, yeah.
What I've been told.
Yeah, are you aware that that there are certain Judaic teachings that are not allowed to be taught to people until they are of a certain age, until they are sexually active, because they know if they learn these, start studying these things too early, they can go insane.
Yes, yes, you can, let's say, harm yourself, cause yourself harm if you're not ready.
Yeah, it's because it's, I know it sounds wacky, but, yeah, I suppose the, you know, this sexual energy thing, you know, the people in India are aware of it. I don't know anything about Tantra, but I'm sure, you know, that's probably part of what we're talking about.
Yeah, it is part of it, and it's an important part. And, you know, one of the things that's happened in modern society is that there is, let's say, an attack on us spiritually by inducing people to misuse their sexual energy, to be confused about it, to dissipate it, and we really lose our life force. And Michelle has written about that in her book, Mary's Way, Romantic Love as a Path to God, where Mary has given her the messages about how to get these things straight about sexual energy, lovemaking, sacred relationship. It's what Mary and Joseph experienced in their lifetime as the parents of Jesus, although Joseph was not the natural father of Jesus. Mary conceived through the Holy Spirit, which is a whole other story that would be interesting for Michelle to tell at some point, but also Mary Magdalene and Jesus. Mary Magdalene helped Jesus come to his highest energetic vibration through her energy and through the lovemaking. And Michelle discusses this in her book, Mary's Way, Romantic Love as a Path to God, and includes these messages that Mary gave to her, because this is one of the great imbalances in our lives, in our society, in our world, not just the United States, but throughout the world. We've lost our way in terms of this spiritual force, this God force within us, which is our sexual energy.
And
yeah.
Part of, you know, as Kevin's talking, I'm thinking, well, part of the reason that that's important for us to know right now is that that is our power or our connection to that which is sacred within us. And when we connect to that, we can really offer tremendous abilities, tremendous hope, and tremendous skill and intellect, the intellect of the heart, to the situation that we're in right now, this major, major, massive transition, you know, with the Earth. I mean, if you develop that and I develop that within myself through spiritual practices, and we're not talking about sex, we are talking about through our meditations, through preparing our body as a vessel to be able to hold that light that is within us.
Cleansing the inner vessel.
Pardon me?
Cleansing the inner vessel.
Exactly. And when we can do that, then we have abilities that are miraculous.
Huh.
We can use those to help one another. Of course, the problem lies in that human beings have a tendency to misuse those powers when we get them.
Yeah. Well, one of the this show, beginning with this show, I'm going to be playing some music, some songs, and one of the songs I'm going to be playing during your show is Leonard Cohen's song, The Future, which was kind of the theme song for Natural Born Killers. But Leonard touches on this, you know, how we're misusing the sex act now, and how on the guy is an absolute master in the way he's written things, but he's when you listen to the song, you'll see that that people are wanting more and more control over our lives, and that we're misusing, you know, our sexuality and other things, and how it's just, you know, he said, you know, we've gotten to the point where, and he says in the song, you know, and they said, repent, repent, repent. And I wonder what they meant. You know, the guy, you know, he said, we're so far gone, we don't even know what that means.
Yeah.
Or we laugh at it, and you know, but they, hey, you know, the scriptures say that in the days that we're in, which is the last days, it would be as it was during the time of Noah. Well, when he was building his ark, making his preparations, everybody was laughing at him. Well, they weren't laughing when the rain started.
That's right.
And they all wanted it. It was too late, you know. And but the parable of the 10 virgins says that this is a time when we need to be gathering oil, you know, our spirituality, and that there will come a time when the door will be closed. And, you know, you might have gotten all the oil everybody else had, but when the door's closed, it's closed.
That's right.
And another song, you know, we'll be playing is Johnny Cash's song, When the Man Comes Around. And he points out that not everyone will be treated the same.
Be sure and stay tuned. We'll be returning in just a few moments.
Everybody,
Marie's going to stay. You keep it here because up next, she's going to set the record straight about a long-standing rumor. Don't miss
Uh-oh.
It. We're back with the very blonde Marie Osmond.
Hello.
And during the commercial, we were talking, and Marie was letting me know. I did not realize that she is one of the co-founders of the Children's Miracle Network, which... It's been about 30 years since it's been in existence and raised billions of dollars for all the proceeds.
Well, this year we'll reach $5 billion for children. And the best part, it's really fun, is that 100% of it has gone to the children.
Good
so,
for you.
Yeah, it's really cool, very unique, nothing like it. It's the number one charity out there for kids of its kind.
And she was saying that she doesn't name her, lend her name to a lot of things, but tell us about your project with the Wise Food Company.
I'm so excited, you guys. You know, I get asked to endorse a lot of things, and my dad always said, two things you protect, your beliefs, your values, and your good name.
Mm-hmm.
So don't lend it out to everything, you know, make sure that you're doing things that you really, really believe in. That is a crazy ring. Shut up.
Thank you.
Okay,
thanks,
anyway,
Marie.
Sorry, I'm blonde. No. So anyway, I come from this family where we used food storage. I know that sounds crazy. But with everything that's been going on, look at Sandy, just here alone.
Yes.
What was it, like $78 billion of damage?
Mm-hmm.
Look at the fires that are going on and the tornadoes and all of that. To not be prepared, we have car insurance, we have health insurance. Why do we not have food? I have done this my whole life. This company has only been in existence now for 4 years, but of all the companies, this is the best.
What
the
is
meals,
it? What do they do?
It's called Wise. Mm-hmm. The meals are about $1 a serving. It's the best food you've ever tasted. It's not your grandma's food. It's not beans and rice and gross stuff.
How do you make it?
Literally, it stores for 25 years. Put it under your bed, and you open up a package, put water, and you eat it. Put it in your car, you know, if you get on a tornado or whatever.
Yeah, when you're hard-pressed and you want something to eat.
I put two meals in the bottom of my children's backpacks that they take to school in case something happens, so I know they always have something to eat. I'm a mother. I'm a child advocate. And I could, seriously, guys, I could lend my name to a bazillion things, but I believe in this, and I know that this company is the best, I swear to you.
Well, so are you.
No, I did.
Yes, I've enjoyed our conversation.
You're the best.
I've really enjoyed meeting you, Marie.
Oh, you're so darling.
Osmond.
Yeah.
Marie Osmond, everybody.
Friends, this is Will Bluewater. If you'd like to find out more about Wise Foods, visit wisefoods.org.
There comes a time... And it's a harsh thing, you know, for people to have to wonder, well, you know, when Creator sorts everything out, you know, which, am I going to be on the right or on the left, and what does it mean, and, but, you know, these are all lifestyle. All this really has to do with is what people are willing to give up a little bit as far as their lifestyle goes.
That's true. All of the conditioned realities and deciding to let go of that and to live a sacred life.
Yep.
To live a sacred life. There's really nothing wrong with that. And actually, there's probably more beauty and more grace and more abundance when you do live the sacred life.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, none of the things that we chase after really fulfill us anyway.
Yeah. Well, I encourage people to... We wrote an e-book called All Things Common. And I would be the last person that would encourage people to join the Mormon Church, because it doesn't really reflect what's even in the Book of Mormon. But the Book of Mormon said that after the resurrection, Jesus visited the Indians over here, and after the destruction of all the cities, he started over with the people, and they lived all things common. They didn't have anything that anybody called their own. And they said they were the happiest people that ever lived on the face of the earth for 225 years. And one of the byproducts of all things common is you get rich. And then, you know, people, there was a group of people that started dressing and thinking they were a little bit better than everybody else. But I think that's the way we're going to go. That's what Gordon Michael Scallion has said. We're going to go... We're going to have small agricultural communities.
Yep.
And it's just going to be a necessity, because there's not going to be a whole lot left anyway, and everybody might as well share what's left, or
That's
they won't
right.
survive.
That's right.
share our skills and our food and our love and our ideas and our hope.
So you weren't real surprised when I said Las Vegas, huh?
No. No, you may end up there.
Yeah, really?
You should probably take a trip there and check out the area.
Yeah.
Check out the mountains up there and just see what you find and see if the spirit calls you.
Yeah, might just have to do that here pretty quick.
You might land up there and be one of the places that houses people. You never know.
Well, there's some things in the works, and if they come to fruition, a friend of mine might have the funds. We might be able to buy a place in like that conference center that's not too far from Las Vegas. It's about $6 million, but it was an old conference center, and it's a wonderful place. It'd be a great place to set up a little colony. They've got enough water and timber, and
I'll say some prayers for you.
Absolutely.
And keep our names just in case.
Oh, sure. And hey, listen, all the listeners out there, let's not be afraid to all get together and pray that that George Norrie will pick up their book. And get them on the show because, it's not like he doesn't talk about this subject. I mean, he's had, several people, come on the subject of the Marian movement, as it's called, within the Catholic Church. And, this is going to cause a flurry of, so we'll have a flurry of shows now. I'm going to try to get John Hogue back on to talk about his experience, and Red Elk will be on again soon to talk about what's going on down there with the hurricane. And but our prayers go out for everybody down there on the Gulf Coast. I know they're miserable.
Yeah.
I know. It's a miserable place. Without air conditioning, it's just absolutely miserable. And I'm glad, had it been a couple weeks earlier, they would be even more miserable, but we had a little bit of break in the 5, 6, 7 degrees means a lot in the summertime. And, my heart goes out to those people. I just don't understand why there haven't been parachutes coming down with MREs. I just don't understand it.
Yeah, that's a whole other. There's something a little bit off there.
Yeah.
Something a little bit off, but it is something for us to take a very good look at in terms of things to come and how we ourselves can avoid and prepare and be smart about things and follow our intuition and not always listen to what the authorities are saying because you never know. You never know, and there's something very peculiar happening there right now.
I don't care how poor you are. You can start right now. Every few months you can buy a case of MREs, and you can keep them up in, where the water. Even if the water did get to them, MREs are going to be edible, and they're good food, and the federal government says everybody ought to have a 72-hour kit. I've always said, the heck with that. Everybody needs a 2-week kit.
That's right.
Because if you get involved with some kind of major natural disaster, look what happened with President Bush's father was saying, the federal government doesn't do anything without a plan. They're kind of like the Russians. They don't even go to the bathroom without a plan. But the federal government doesn't really do anything quickly and, so they're slow to respond. They'll be in there. It's just, I don't know. They're kind of like the military. They don't do anything without real planning. But man, there's some people suffering down there right now. My heart goes out to them. Well, you both feel talked out.
Well, I think you do a great service for people to bring people. Who have these prophetic messages on the air and get their messages out. And you know, of course, you know, Michelle and I can talk about this stuff forever because we, you know, we live it every day and we think about it and we write about it. So, you know, just, you can go on and on.
Yeah, you bet, folks. Well, I want to announce Grandfather Red Elk is having a weekly Thursday night show at BurlingtonNews.net. And this is just something that started up in the last few days, and we want to encourage everybody to go on over and listen to him and Mary Sutherland. He's a person that really... He's the kind of guy really needs to be cranked up, you know, and wound up and listened to on a weekly basis. I couldn't get enough of Grandfather Red Elk, but if I had him on every week, you know, but I think it's great, you know, Mary's given a forum, because they have a lot of people, particularly over in Great Britain, that listen through, the channels that she has. So I want to encourage everybody to go on over to BurlingtonNews.net on Thursdays. Not sure of the time, but you can go to redelk.org and get the schedule. And it's not on demand. You have to be there at a certain... I think you have to be there at a certain time to listen to it. Mary might run the show for a few days. I mean, I'm not real sure. You just have to check it out. But Grandfather Red Elk was given a great sweeping vision of the future, and he was shown that things would get worse after he had problems with his toes. And he lost, you know, one of his toes here not too many months ago, and now we've got this that's starting up. So, of course, he's diabetic. That's the reason why he's having problems with his toes. And but anyway... I want to thank you folks for being on the show, and really want to encourage everybody, please pray that we can get these folks onto Coast to Coast AM. They've got a message needs to be heard, and people need to learn to be spiritually self-sufficient. And this is not something that's been taught for the last couple thousand years. People like these are the exception to the rule, but according to Moses, everybody should have the ability to do this. Shouldn't be a mystery to know how to get out from in front of a moving train, even if you're told days and weeks ahead of time. I don't care if it's the night before and you're told, get up and get out of your bed, get in your car and head whatever, but everybody ought to have this ability in these times, because, you know, we're told that during these kind of times that the things that are going to happen could scare you to death.
Yes.
So, buy their book, folks.
Thank you very much, Blue Otter.
You bet. I'm going to be getting a copy of your book. I don't buy a lot of my guest book, but I'm buying yours.
Well, don't buy it. We'll just send it to you.
Hey, I appreciate it.
Thank you very much. Thank you very much.
Thanks for listening to the Wisdom of the Elders on Prophecy Keepers Radio, revealing closely guarded ancient secrets here in the modern information age of Aquarius. This station's only means of support is through donations and purchases of the Prophecy Keepers Trilogy and Preparedness Library, which includes lifetime online access to a printable 1,000-page intelligence briefing and a worldwide indigenous prophecy encyclopedia. Now, folks, there's nothing else like this collection on the planet. You'll receive instant access to the Prophecy Keeper's Wisdom Treasury Vault. This is a huge 4.88 gigabyte library, 3,287 files and 222 folders. It includes the Prophecy Keeper's Prepper's Self-Reliance files and all of our previous over 100 Prophecy Keepers interviews. So head on over to prophecykeepers.com right now and have a free sneak peek today of two-thirds of the Prophecy Keepers trilogy and a peek of the dashboard of the Prophecy Keepers Wisdom Treasury Vault. Be sure and stay tuned. We'll be returning in just a few moments.
You want to get an edge on turning back the clock with just a few pills? Who doesn't? Well, it's no longer science fiction, but science possibility, a potential breakthrough. As I found out firsthand, there may be a way to erase years, at least inside my body. Granted, it's down the road, but some scientists are wondering if a new pill I took might offer a very long life.
It may not look like the Fountain of Youth, but inside this nondescript building, I'm about to become part of an exciting experiment, a kind of guinea pig.
Dr. McCord, okay.
I'm here at the University of Colorado in Denver to meet Dr. Joe McCord, a world-renowned scientist.
This is pretty exciting stuff you're finding, huh?
It is. We're very excited about it.
His latest research could very well unravel the mystery of aging itself. And his decades of experiments may have the potential of adding years to people's lives and possibly prevent chronic diseases like cancer, diabetes, and heart disease. It all centers around this small yellow pill, and for me, it begins with a blood test.
It wouldn't be the first time I've given blood for this company.
They want to check my levels of something called T-bars, which is a rough indicator of a person's actual age. T-bars can identify a condition known as oxidative stress, a kind of measure of the wear and tear on our bodies. Oxidative stress, like the rusting of an engine, is not a good thing.
Bad for the body.
Leading to disease.
Leading to disease and leading to malfunction and, importantly, leading to what we call aging. It is a slow progression of increasing oxidative stress. That's the main characteristic biochemically of the aging process.
The problem of aging begins with the very food we eat to give us energy. As our cells burn that food, they also release toxic chemicals. Those chemicals, you may know them as free radicals, react with all the components of our cells, literally bombarding them millions of times per second, damaging all our cells. The result? Oxidative stress. And we all have it. The body fights back with a system of defenses. It makes two antioxidant enzymes, catalase and SOD, whose job is to gobble up the free radicals before they can harm our cells.
So, doctor, how often do I take these?
And so, here I go. With that swallow, I've just become part of a potentially landmark scientific experiment.
Doesn't taste bad.
It's called Protandim, and tests on both mice and humans have already shown that it revs up the manufacture of those good enzymes in our bodies. More enzymes, fewer free radicals to harm us. Whether that will lead to longer life is still unknown. Experiments to see if mice live longer are about to get underway, but it's a tantalizing theory.
Right now, all we know is that this preparation decreases oxidative stress. Oxidative stress is not a disease, just like aging is not in itself a disease, but it's something that accompanies and is attached to many disease processes. So you can see the age-related...
Normally, oxidative stress, measured by those T-bars, increases with age. But in Dr. McCord's tests, taking just one pill of Protandim a day reversed that trend for everyone at every age, even for an 80-year-old.
They all are reduced to the level of oxidative stress that one would expect, frankly, in a newborn or a very young child.
Back to the oxidative stress levels of a child? It sounds too good to be true. Will Protandim work on me?
The scientific evidence is there. The pieces seem to make sense. The question is, does this translate into something that humans can take advantage of?
And so, ancient Eastern healing and modern Western medicine may soon be working together. High oxidative stress is associated with more than aging. It's been linked to hundreds of illnesses.
It's at the very center of many diseases. Liver disease, diabetes, emphysema, asthma. I've studied all of these. Strokes, heart attacks.
Even mental disease.
Yes.
Depression?
Alzheimer's disease, depression.
Dr. James Crapo with the National Jewish Medical Center in Denver is also researching Protandim for the company.
Are you saying that this could be a cure-all?
You're looking at something that will have a small impact, but an important impact.
We make no claims about curing any disease or preventing any disease. We hope that when enough studies are done, perhaps such claims might be able to be made in the future.
Clinical studies to assess Protandim in both diabetes and heart disease should start in 3 to 4 months. But what about my progress? After nearly 2 weeks now, it's time to get my results. Dr. McCord calculates the numbers. The result? My level of oxidative stress has declined dramatically.
45%. That's excellent.
Just look at where I fall on the graph. Before and after.
Which, if extrapolated back, is the level you would see in a newborn baby.
Have we turned back the clock? Well, maybe not on the outside, but deep inside, within my cells. Yes, indeed.
Would you suggest I keep taking this supplement?
I would. I can't guarantee it's going to extend your life. I can't guarantee it's going to eliminate any diseases or cure any diseases.
But we do know that oxidative stress is part of those disease processes. And I don't want to wait until I'm 80 years old and find out that I should have taken it.
For more, go to our website at abcnews.com.
It's at www.defendyourownbody.com. That's defendyourownbody.com. Visit us now.
Major universities and government agencies initiated and continue self-funded studies following the ABC Primetime Investigative Report you just viewed that originally aired in 2005. These studies continue to reveal more scientific evidence about Protandim's unique benefits. They are published in major scientific and medical journals. The next video will bring you up to date.
Developed after 40 years of research and exclusively for LifeVantage, Protandim is a true scientific breakthrough in anti-aging. Protandim has been reported on ABC, NBC, and PBS, featured in the Wall Street Journal, and described in CNN chief medical correspondent Dr. Sanjay Gupta's book, Chasing Life, The Quest for Immortality. Protandim's creator, Dr. Joe McCord, is a world-renowned scientist and a pioneer in free radical biology. Dr. McCord is the discoverer of the key anti-aging enzyme, superoxide dismutase. His role in the discovery is so significant, the enzyme is measured in McCord units. For Dr. McCord's discovery of superoxide dismutase and his contributions in free radical biology, he was awarded the Elliott Cresson Medal. This medal is awarded to distinguished inventors and scientists, putting Dr. McCord in the same company as Pierre and Marie Curie, Alexander Graham Bell, Orville Wright, and Henry Ford. Dr. Joe McCord has devoted his life's work to the study of free radicals, their role in aging, and the many problems associated with aging. Consumers spend billions every year on antioxidants in the form of food and supplements, hoping to reduce these free radicals. But antioxidants from these sources can only eliminate one free radical for every one antioxidant molecule you consume. Protandim is scientifically proven to slow cellular damage caused by free radicals. Taking one Protandim one time per day for 30 days turns on these anti-aging enzymes in your body. Your own enzymes eliminate free radicals at a rate of 1 million to 1.
I think any other supplements that are designed to be antioxidant supplements probably are no longer needed because Protandim solves that problem in a much more effective way.
Protandim is a breakthrough poised to revolutionize the anti-aging industry. It is an entirely new and scientifically validated way to fight aging, reducing your oxidative stress levels to that of a 20-year-old after just 30 days.
We found, as many other scientists had documented, that there is a progressive increase in T-bars in your blood the older you get. When these same people took Protandim for 30 days, the age-dependent increase in lipid peroxidation was completely eliminated. After Protandim, we could no longer distinguish the 80-year-old from the 20-year-old.
Protandim is protected by 3 U.S. patents. Universities around the world continue to initiate and fund their own studies of Protandim and to evaluate how this anti-aging breakthrough can prevent and improve many of the hundreds of problems associated with aging.
Many academic scientists at a number of universities have begun studying Protandim because it represents a new tool. It represents a way of reducing oxidative stress that wasn't available before. Simply was not a good way of doing what Protandim does. Protandim interacts with the DNA in your cells and causes the cells to make more of a set of genes called survival genes. The ingredients in Protandim were actually selected because they are largely metabolized by the liver, which does not interfere with most prescription drugs, which are generally metabolized by the kidneys. So the general answer to that is yes, it is safe. The immediate benefits of Protandim are within several days, the biochemical markers of oxidative stress begin to decrease. And while these are immediate improvements, you may not sense that these things are happening, just as you can't sense what your cholesterol level is, if it's high or low. But nonetheless, these benefits start happening within days of taking Protandim. The advantages to taking Protandim in the long term are that it protects your body from the relentless progression of free radical damage as we age. The anti-aging aspect of Protandim is one that accumulates over time, so the longer you take it, the more protection you will sustain. Missing a dose of Protandim is not a big problem. It takes about 2 weeks for the effects to go away. So if you miss it for 2 weeks, you're pretty much back to where you started from.
It's at www.defendyourownbody.com. That's defendyourownbody.com. Visit us now.
Let the truth